Well, it's a pleasure to have the head coach at Arizona State, Molly Miller, with us on Nothing But Net. Coach Miller, congratulations to you and your family on moving across town to take on a new job. And boy, you've had a terrific start. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we actually didn't have to move schools for the kids. We didn't have to move houses. I added about a 15-minute commute to my typical route. So when your phone's a mobile office, as many coaches know, it was a breeze. So very grateful, very thankful.
Well, it didn't take you long to put your culture in place. I mean, you've had great success early. It was just recently this week upon the taping of our podcast that you finally fell from the unbeaten. You were 15-0 until the game against BYU. So, you know, what has worked? What has been the formula for getting this thing going and moving in the right direction so quickly?
Well, I think initially it's who you bring in out the gate. You've got to establish your identity. And our identity was going to be, we're going to play hard. We're going to be relentless on the defensive end. We're going to have good character kids that form our culture for us to kind of springboard a foundation to move forward. And we hit all those points. I'm so grateful. I tell my husband, Derek, all the time, how did we get this lucky with putting this specific group together? Because when you're starting a new chapter and you're trying to change some culture, the buy-in is everything. And this team is kind of a jump how high coach team. And when you have those kids, they're just bought in because it's a very unique style and a brand too. It's not for everyone. You have to play hard. You have to play defense. A lot of players get their rest on defense. Well, we take it up a whole nother notch on the defensive end. So it's that effort and energy, positive body language, being a good human being, all those things that embody the Sun Devil way. We were able to find some players in the portal, and then we had three returners that were bought in. So all the credit goes to those kids and the staff who really understood the vision and wanted it to come to fruition sooner rather than later.
So when you talk about the culture and how you play and how hard you grind, give us a few examples of what your team looks like on offense and what your team looks like on defense.
Well, defensively, we're just going to make everything impossible is really our mantra. Make the wing entry pass impossible. Make the elbow entry pass impossible. Make it impossible for the ball handler to feel comfortable when dribbling down the court. We don't want posts to get easy touches, so we're not playing behind. We're really trying to get around. Pressure is our staple. We're flying around. Now, it's everyone says it's risky how you trap so much, and it's not really risky when you kind of are on the same page and it's organized chaos. So we have certain trapping rules when we go, when we don't know, go, how we rotate. So there is teaching in that, but defensively we get after it and fly around and disrupt. Offensively, we create a lot of our offense from our defense. I will say, because we focused on defense so early and often, it's ahead of our offense and we're trying to get our offense to catch back up. But it's a very share the basketball, pass up a good shot to get a great shot. We're going to try to score in transition because we are causing so many turnovers that you usually have an advantage. So when you have an advantage, we're trying to get it in the paint, make good decisions early, send it ahead. When you've got a neutral court, we're just trying to make good decisions. We're not married to one specific offense. Like, you're not going to see read and react every year or dribble drive every year or ball screen motion every year. We really try to conform to our players' strengths. Which is great, especially in this day and age where your roster's flipping over pretty quick. It's not like you're going to come in here and you're going to want ball screen motion. Well, you might not be good at making decisions off of ball screen, but if we do have players that are good at making decisions off of ball screen, we're going to put them in ball screens. So we really play up to the strengths of our personnel.
I think that's the essence of teaching. And especially now when there are times when you can get your group together and, you know, I say under, overhead, strap, ice jam, switch, drop, the eight different ways you can guard a ball screen or some variation of it. So if you have all those concepts in, then, you know, you can adjust. And, you know, I've always believed if you can make the defense wrong on the offensive end, then you're going to find some success. So you got some plays for us that you have put together to illustrate a little bit about how Arizona State plays. And this is the fun part about doing this podcast is we get to listen and learn. And learn something about Arizona State and about your style.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to pull them up here if technology allows me to share my screen. Of course, we're going to have some defensive flips right off the bat because we're pretty convicted to that. So can you see the us in the half court?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's roll because this is a defense-oriented system. So we're going to start with how we fly around. Obviously, we are trying to disrupt and make them catch outside the three, deep, talk, keep them in the corner. So right here is a 1-4 switch. Again, trying to put pressure. Gonzaga does a good job of moving the ball side to side. But when it's that close to the sideline, I give them the green light to trap. So right there, we basically have a three-person trap. You've got the sideline and our two defenders. What we have a saying, one goes, we all go. So number seven there, Martina, went to trap. So we all have to rotate. And the principle is leave the furthest open. So we're a little late on this. I would like to for that to be denied. But we do get there. Now, you know, they're in trouble, scrambling around. We're flying around. Travel with, you know, six seconds left on the shot clock.
Your ball pressure on that, there was a cutter on the backside open at the front of the rim and they couldn't see her?
Yeah. So we say two wrongs make a wrong. So if we didn't rotate properly, then that's wrong. But if we don't have ball pressure, then that's also wrong. Two wrongs make a wrong. Right. And so, right. I shouldn't have said right on that. But, you get the point. If there's ball pressure and we didn't have perfect rotations, it's still really tough to trap. We call it a TT out of a tipping trap. So we want to have those tipping traps to make it difficult. Mm-hmm. This is another one. Pressure. You can see on the, if my arrow's showing up, number 21 and Martina over here on the strong side elbow, we're denying the elbows. So it's really important. I mean, number seven, Martina is almost top blocking her, right? She's on the top and she's denying elbow entries. So anyone that wants to go through the elbow is going to be really difficult. And they ended up catching probably at the wings or just setting a ball screen. So initially they couldn't get it into the elbow. Also number one's here really denying. So here they are at 13 seconds and they haven't even started an offense. Mm-hmm. So it's all about the ball pressure and making that first entry pass impossible. Now you can see 14, the pressure release to that is maybe cut back door. Well, we work on that constantly. We call it a super deny. So she flipped her head, she flipped her deny arm, and now she's taking away the back door cut. And we've got a good help side, low eye here. We call this in the middle an eye. You want to form an eye on the weak side. So our low eye is in good position. We're denying one pass away, denying one pass away, denying one pass away. So that's good pressure on ball. And then we get one of those quick steals.
You know, this pass over the head like this that I always say, you know, that come out of a trap. Like in the women's game, maybe some people can make that right-handed, but most people left-handed cannot even come close to doing that.
Yeah, and we've done different schemes where we're going to trap, you know, a ball screen on the right side of the floor. So if they're dribbling with their left hand, it's going to be impossible to get that skip out. So, yeah, we're disruptive. Here's another one. Take that volume off. So we're really one pass away. We're denying. And then we're trying to pin them over here on the sideline. No middle. So Marley does a good job of kind of a chest stop there, not letting her turn the corner. And Gabby, number zero right here, is at the nail. So she should run into a wall. And this wall, she's got to recover. Gabby's got to recover with cutters. So she super denies. And we've got number 14 working to get around the post. Ball pressure on the catch. I mean, she is snugged up. Lots of ball pressure. Force them into a shot clock violation. So lots of pressure to any counter pressure release. There should be an opportunity to super deny, get a deflection. We call those pick sixes. But same thing here. Flares, we always teach go over the top of flares. So we're going fighting over the top of this flare. Now we're a little bit hugged up on this side. So if she curls to the rim, we should have help side taking care of that. But went over that flare, lots of ball pressure. We always say palm the forehead. So, you know, right now she shouldn't blow by us. There's a decent gap, but she should still feel the pressure with Poa's palm the forehead here. So palm the forehead. We want to be extend that hand as much as we can. Poa does a good job. She forces her not to use the screen, takes the path of least resistance there. Again, palm the forehead, palm the forehead. So you can see every closeout is with a purpose. We've worked on this since June, you know, high hand. And I'm a big proponent A lot of people teach this differently, so to each his own, but I'm a one-handed closeout person. I've just studied it so much that when you have two hands on a closeout, it lifts you up. And so one hand still does the job of stopping shot, but it keeps you seated a little bit more.
I love that. And if you get three stops in a row, do you have a term for that?
Three stops in a row. That's what we say. The bench is counting. Three okay. stops in a row. But we should I tag a term to everything. We might as well.
I mean, there's, a lot of people call it a turkey.
Yeah, there you go. Like a strike. I like that bowling term.
Yeah.
So now here we are. 6 seconds left. They're setting a step-up screen. Again, I love to trap step-ups. It could be scout specific, but that's our default because here they are on, 1/8 of the court. So we should be able to trap this. Gabby's coming from the low eye to tag. Marley gets caught a little bit. But again, 2-1. Got to take a quick shot. Shot clock winding down.
I love it. I love that you have default concepts on how you want to play, but then you also can change it by personnel. And I'm sure you can do certain things on one side of the floor and something else on the other side.
Yeah, that's what I love about having a savvy team is you can really mix it up on the fly. Again, push it. They want a post entry. Didn't quite get the steal or the denial at the elbow, but now look where they're catching it. It makes this handoff further out than when they wanted it. So we're kind of a let me through on that one. Denying. So here's an interesting tidbit that I've always felt really gets your team to lock in on a dead ball. I mean, since we were kindergarten, when that ball's picked up, we were taught to say dead, 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 dead.
Yeah.
Well, we say 5-5-5-5-5 on the bench for a couple of reasons. One, that is our signal that the ball's dead. And two, that's our signal to go nose to nose, everyone. Like, get out of help and deny your man. Sell out. You can see Deb here is guarding 44. She's in denial. So it's a nose to nose deny. And our objective is to get a 5 count. So we want that official to be, counting 5, which is why we say 5-5-5 for all of us to deny. So if they pass it, there's our 5 getting out and deny. So our 5 player is even nose to nose denial, and she gets a pick 6 right here, and we ended up scoring that. So that's a little tip of the trade right there. Instead of saying dead, 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 we say 5-5-5, and that's a good trigger for our kids. And
I like it.
Stuck. So we stay with it. So
one hand close out. I understand you want to stay down, and then 5. I get it. It's good.
5-5-5, and then the palm to forehead, with the one hand on the closeout. So we do a good job right here, resistance to the drive, and then here's another 5-5-5-5-5 opportunity. So we're all attaching ourselves. Brackens is in a little bit of scramble mode, but she flipped her head, and we call this a super denial. So on a back door, just throw your hands. I tell our players, on back door cuts, we should throw every single body part at the baseline. So Brackens right here is throwing every single body part at the baseline, but also on cuts, we need to have guard charges or guard tags. So we need to tag from the weak side eye, which Gabby is doing that too. She's a cutter. She's kind of floating. She literally tagged the cutter. It's like, tag, you're it. She has a hand. She tagged the cutter. I've got all the confidence in the world with great ball pressure that for the skip can't get out. But now we're in 5-5-5 mode. They got it out. We're trying to keep her on her side.
Stunt. No middle. Yeah. Keep them on the same side. Don't let them reverse it.
Yeah. Force them into a bad shot. So that was a pretty good defensive effort. Ash put these together for me. So shout out to our ops person, Ash. But this is us. Here we go. Either whether it's a hard hedge or a full-on trap, we always want to have a tagger from the backside. So we're going to leave the furthest person open. Now, on a hard hedge, 14 will recover back to her man, kick the small out back to hers. On a trap, it'll be a permanent tag, if that makes sense.
This to me looks a lot like TJ Osselberger from Iowa State.
Yeah, you got to be committed because right now, in this trap, if one pass away, we always say if one pass away gets out, then the 3 is bound to happen. So we've got to deny here one pass away, deny here one pass away, deny here one pass away. So you really sell out. And I always say if it gets out to number 1 here in the corner, that's the trapper's fault. So don't be afraid to leave your man and sell out. Have a great trap, which we did right there. That was probably a perfection on trapping a ball screen, rotating, leaving the furthest person open, and trying to get a tipping, a deflection on the trap. Here's we always want to make it challenging. So if we're going to pick up full court, we're not going to use our energy for not. It's, you're trying to get a five count right here. So zero, Gabby does a good job of denying, just making entries hard, making entries hard. Okay, they finally get it in with about 4.5 seconds of work. So we've made them work a little bit more. Now, if we're full court, we're really trying to work the ball. Again, looking for opportunities. So here's a double team opportunity. One of our double teaming rules is you're so close you can guard two.
So run and jump.
Yeah, Gabby can come guard and Marley here can peel off and we'll be fine. She's not going to, you know, shoot it from half court. So you're so close you can guard two. So Gabby came, Marley went. We're cool. Even if that pass did go through, we would be fine. But we got a deflection, little run and jump action, two on one. This is really good effort. I want you to watch Gabby right here. She does a good job of getting around. We always say fight in the post. We are never going to stay behind. So, you know, they thought they had a mismatch trying to post up one of our guards. Well, we're going to fight to get around. And then at the end, we say hold hands. And the reason I say that is because if Gabby goes and holds her hand, then there's a pretty good chance that she gets a deflection. So you really want to go hand to hand, and then it becomes a 50-50 ball. So Gabby lifts up, fights around. I thought that was good effort. One of our staples is turns. So that's probably the art of our defense. I'll show you a couple here of just half court turns. So we're always trying to get off to the ball in the gap. I'd like number four here, Jaya, to be a little bit more in the gap. But you can see Poa has done a great job of getting in the gap. So again, here's a rule of double teaming. You're so close, you could guard two, and you see the back of her head. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're in playing good positional defense, which you should be up the line on the line, we don't need to hug 24, especially this team was turn candidates because they weren't knockdown shooters. We weren't playing, you know, 44% three-point shooters. So she turns her back. We can go on this turn.
You will trap in the middle of the floor on that when they turn their head.
Yeah, that's a surprise sneak attack. So
okay.
This trap happens, and here's what's the beauty of it. If this ball does get out to 24, then our 24 should rotate, and then 21 down here will rotate to 14. I cannot tell you how many steals we get when it gets kicked out of the trap to the wing, and they're like, oh, well, the post is leaving her man to come get me. I'm just going to lob it into the post. Well, that's third effort on 21's part to rotate in front of the post, and we get that lob steal all the time. Now, do we want to trap in the middle of the court just to trap in the middle of the court? No, that's why people are like, well, that seems so risky. This was a calculated risk because she can't see last tier Poa.
Yeah.
So when she's turning, she turns into a trap, and now we're going to have a suffocating trap. We're denying one pass away, denying one pass away. 24 here is doing a good job of splitting them, staying on the high side because she would come out on a closeout. And we're just making it really challenging. So it's not risky in our book because of that. Here's another turn. So one rule of turning two is if, okay, your man's behind the line of the ball. Well, Poa's man kicked it up. We love this type of, if your man kicks it up, your eyes should be about as big as saucers because you can go and get a steal. So your man's behind the line of the ball. Marley cuts it off and we get a turn opportunity. If you remember, I said one goes, we all go.
Yep.
So Jaya's over here. Number four is going to rotate, take Poa's man. We should have rotations one pass away. Here comes 21, rotating to zero. Okay, we got 11. So who do we leave open? The furthest. Now, technically, if that gets out, that should be a layup. But you're talking about decision-making in a split second,
yeah.
You getting trapped, hands, arms, bodies around you. I mean, and that's a surprise kind of sneak attack on that turn where we get that jump ball. So, that's basically in a nutshell. I mean, I could go on, but that's kind of us on defense.
I like it. I mean, you know, I'm an offensive person, but I tell you right now, I mean, I enjoy watching all that, knowing what some of your terminology is, and it's not giving up the secrets either. I mean, this is just playing hard and you've got to execute on the other side. So, I like it, Coach Miller. I think it's fantastic that you've spent the time doing this and putting this together and having a genuine scheme and a plan, like ready to go.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Like you said, it's all about playing hard. And one of my sayings that I shared, two wrongs make a wrong. So if we weren't really supposed to go and trap, but someone committed to it, then the rest of us have to commit, because that's kind of the beauty of this defense. It just, the underlying theme is accountability. So you can't have one person taking a playoff. You can't have one person not in rotation. You can't have one person hustling to take the next thing away, because you're exposed. And no one wants to be that outlier, right? That's right. Exposed. So it takes five on the defensive end. And it's really a system that holds you accountable, puts in place the hard work and the toughness and the effort that everyone preaches about. But you have to play that way in this defensive style.
It can take decision-making out of the ball handler's hands and put it in someone else's. It can get late in the clock and you're scrambling and they're rushing. There's a lot of ways that not just getting a steal or getting a stat that you can influence and impact. I'm a big believer in that you have to constantly change the rhythm of the game on the defensive end. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's key, especially at this level. There's so many counters, you know, so if you can catch them off base, because they know you're going to hard hedge a ball screen. Okay, well, next time if we trap and rotate, then maybe they're rethinking that play. Mm-hmm. When you change tempo, also, you're not allowing the offense to get comfortable or understand what's – you just got to play a play ahead, you know, because there's counters to everything. So I love that as a coach, because, you know, you don't want to outthink yourself, but you do want to try to determine, like, oh, they're going to set us up for a backdoor, which teams do every game against us. They try to set us up for a backdoor. So what do we practice? We practice guard charges. So we lunge out on a backdoor. We practice our super denial, but we get caught every once in a while. But that lower guard steps over and takes the charge on the back door. So
I'm throwing my body to the baseline. That's what I'm doing on a backdoor.
See, you're a quick learner. You're coachable.
Yeah. I'm coachable.
Here's a little practice insight. We do skinnies. So a skinny is like just a little piece of the whole. It's just a sliver. If we are in shell, for example, and the drill is shell defense, and we are awful on our closeouts, I'll blow my whistle and go, toot! I need a line on that side and that side. And we're going to roll the ball out. We're going to close out with one hand, and then we're going to match step. And we do that for 2 minutes. It's just a little piece, right? Sure. Whole part whole, really. But we call it just a skinny. So I blow my whistle. I was like, all right, we're going to do a closeout skinny. And they know exactly what that means. It's like, okay, Coach Miller really wants us to focus in on this point of emphasis in shell drill because we're poor at it right now. So we'll do a 2-minute skinny of closeouts. Then we'll go back to the shell drill. Our closeouts will be night and day better because we just did that skinny on how to close out. And, you know, those teaching techniques and those teaching tools are really important for our kids. And throughout the years, I figured out what sticks. I've got my own little dialogue and sure. Foreign language, it seems like. But you're picking up on it.
I'm listening. I'm learning. That's why we're doing this. We are sharing so that others can learn alongside. There's a lot of coaches that are watching what you're doing, not just because they're playing against you or you know, putting a scout together. They're trying to learn what you've done in such a quick manner. And so you should be congratulated for that, because in today's climate, it's not easy to put all these pieces together. And, but conceptually, if you have an idea of how you want to play and everyone buys in, then seems to me like you can just make it roll pretty quickly.
Yeah. And you're going to get good at what you practice, you know, so sure. Like anybody, we practice a lot on the defensive end with those effort plays and, you know, backdoor cuts. We know we're going to get backdoor cuts. So we practice guarding the backdoor cut. We know they're going to slip out of ball screens when we're trapping. So we practice on tagging early, you know, all those things. You're going to get good at what you practice.
Well, we are grateful that you spent some time with us breaking it down. That's one of the favorite things I love to do with this podcast is watch film with the coaches, because that's where we all learn the most, including me. And, you know, I'm a visual learner. And so watching film absolutely helps me. It always did as a player. It still helps me as a broadcaster. And you have helped us all by breaking it down on the defensive end. So thank you, Coach Miller, for your time, for your effort, your energy, the way you pour into your players and the way that you have put Arizona State on the map in the Big 12. This is going to be a fun season.
I appreciate it. And this platform, I just thank you for taking the time, because we can talk philosophy all day, but it's rare where you kind of get down to the X's and O's and you can see it and have a coach explain it. So this was the most fun part of my day. I really enjoyed it. Besides practice, that's my fun part. But thank you for allowing this platform to grow the game. This was fun.
Thank you. That's Molly Miller, the head coach at Arizona State, breaking it down on the defensive end. That's right. I said defense. Next time, we'll get you to break down some offense, coach.
There you go. We'll do it.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.